The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
There's nothing like being the champions. So yeah, that video was all about the NBA season last year, that the San Antonio Spurs beat the Miami Heat to win the NBA championship. Actually, they call it the World Championship. I don't know why, because it's really an American competition. But anyway, they call it the World Champions. There was a season of spanning over 100 games, hundreds of hours on the practice court, in the gym, in team meetings, all to win that trophy. And you can see, obviously, that the celebrations that took place. You know, whether you experience it as a player or a fan or a coach, there's nothing in the sporting world anyway that compares to winning it all. You know, when you think about the NBA Championship, perhaps, you know, the State Youth Games trophy is not really on the same level. But last weekend, yeah, we did. We had the privilege of being involved in a team that won a trophy, that won a championship together. And it is awesome. It's great, great times to win. It was our sixth in 7 years. I know when I was a little kid, I always used to go along to State Youth Games and always long that I could one day go along and you'd see the closing ceremony, and we didn't really ever win much. I don't know what you guys were doing back then, Rod, but it was one or two anyway. But I was like, wouldn't it be awesome if South Perth won? And then here we are, we've been able to win it a few times, and it is an awesome feeling to be crowned a champion. In a very different environment to State Youth Games, but I've played footy for a couple of years now, and played for a club called Wesley Curtin, and our league team in that particular club had never won a championship, never won a premiership in its history in the league team anyway. And we had a good, really good team, and back in 2012 we were in B grade in the amateur league, and we managed to finish the season on top and looked like we were going to win, and we got to the grand final and were able to win the championship in that year, the first league premiership that they'd ever won. And everyone was so pumped, you know, that the president was going nuts. Everyone's singing the song about 50,000 times throughout the night, and there's just the euphoria associated with being a champion when you put in, you know, all season long to achieve this goal, and then it finally becomes a reality. It's an incredible feeling, and we're actually able to back it up the next year and go from B grade to A grade, and we're able to win the next year. And so it was another level of success, and that our club had done something that no one had ever done. As you can see, there's a photo from the change rooms after the A-grade premiership, when we'd put in essentially 2 years of work to do, you know, what no other club in our competition had done, and that's win both grades in consecutive years. And, you know, I looked around and I saw everyone, how ecstatic they were that we'd achieved this prize, we'd achieved these medals. They had, you know, two medals around their neck. And it was, you know, it's what you do it all for, you know, in that sporting environment. It's what you do it all for. And I remember one thing my coach said. I think it might have even been before the second grand final. I remember him saying, you know, this will be the best, one of the best moments of your entire life, you know. And I looked around at the different people in my team, and I could see in their eyes that they really believed that this was going to be the epitome of all that they could really go for, it, particularly in the sporting world. It's something that it would be unmatched. I'll take this off now. I don't need to wear them the whole time. You know, I love my sport, and I mean, maybe sport might be the furthest thing from your mind when you think of trophies and achievements, but I love it, and I guess it's the way I was brought up and the culture of sport that we had. But I love other things as well, and anyone who knows me well can testify to this, but I also love fishing. And, you know, I love just picking up the rod and putting on the backpack and hitting the beach or the river and going to try and catch a fish. And I love a trophy fish. I love the idea of catching a big fish that you can, you know, take a photo of and showcase as a trophy. And up on the screen is one of my trophy fish, you know, catching a mulloway in the Swan River is sort of like a real prize for any fisherman in Perth. And I'd read about it for years, that people try, and they try for years on end maybe to try and get this prize, putting in hours and hours of efforts, you know, away from their families at night, long hours, sometimes without even success. And anyway, I decided to do it, and on the second night that I tried, it was about 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night, it was freezing cold with my mate, and managed to catch this fish after doing all this research about, you know, where to go and what bait to use and all this tides and different things. And there's no feeling quite like when my friend sort of, you know, lumped this thing up on the jetty and there's this massive fish on the jetty flapping around. You go, oh, I've done it. I've achieved what I'd wanted to do, what lots of people have set out to do and never done. What an achievement. And there's such a sense of joy and satisfaction in that moment that is contagious and it is addictive and it is really enjoyable. Certainly when we get what we hope for, it is good. It really is good. Now you might be thinking, man, fishing is not my thing. Like, good on you for catching a fish. Like, that's great, but it's not a trophy in my eyes. Or sport's not that important. We don't need to talk about sport trophies. But I really believe that we've all got our trophies. We've all got things that we're trying to achieve, things that we're hoping for, things that we're working towards in our lives. You know, might not be sport. You know, it could be saving up for something, you know, working hard at earning money to buy something. It could be a house, it could be a car, it could be something else. It could be an academic achievement, it could be a work achievement, maybe getting a good result in exams, or maybe just finishing an exam and getting to the end of your exam period is a prize or a trophy in itself. You know, it could be a photo with a celebrity. You know, maybe this one time you met someone and you've got this photo on your mantelpiece and you're like, that was the ultimate. I couldn't believe I met that person. I don't know what it is for you, but I believe we've all got these things in our lives that we're working towards, these trophies that we're aspiring to, that we're working hard for, that do consume our mind in some way, shape or form. What I want you to do is have a think about, for you, what maybe a trophy has been in the past. You know, it may not be a medal, you know, it may not be a fish, it may not be an academic achievement. I don't know what it is, but have a think about it in your own life. Could have been when you're a kid, teenager, a bit younger than you are. Maybe it's only recently. What's saying that you were working really hard to achieve a trophy, if you will, and then you achieved it? Just think about what that feeling was like to finally get it, to finally have it right in front of you, what you'd been wanting for. And what I want you to do is just to think about that, and I want you to turn to the person nearby, and I want you to share it with one another. Share that moment, share what it is. If you can't think of something, then obviously that's fine. I can't force you to think of something. But if you have got something, I want you to share it with the person nearby you and tell them what it was like when you finally got it, what it was that you were looking for. Should have had enough time to share some things. Now just pop down the front and ask Mum and Dad. And Dad pointed to Mum. That was pretty noble. If you heard him preach, he'll often say that. And Mum's was finishing the house renovations, so that was really good. You know, as I reflected on, even on my own life, you know, on the ones I've talked about, but other ones, you know, I can't even Seath Games, the Premiership, different achievements. You can't help but think it's an incredible moment. It is really good. I believe it's a great gift from God when we do, you know, see fruit of what we're hoping for. But with a lot of the things that I was thinking about, I thought, you know, the toughest realization to face sometimes is that it inevitably, that moment fades, and the glory of that achievement, just, you know, it fades into the distance, and it's a bit disheartening to think about. It doesn't really pass the test of time. You know, no matter how many times I pick up a medal or look at a photo, it's never going to be the same as when it happened. You know, you hope and you wish that you could revisit that moment, relive the glory, but you can't do it. These trophies are temporary, and there's nothing really we can do to change that. Doesn't mean they're bad things. It's just the reality. And I find in my own life anyway, I start to look at my life, you know, say my lifespan, and all of a sudden the danger is that you can start to put all these little sort of temporary trophies that you're getting one after the other, and all of a sudden it's filling your life, and you can look back and think, you know, all those little things I was going for are great in their own thing, but collectively, or individually and collectively as a whole, they're not really fulfilling that great need that I have. They fade, and maybe they're just a glimpse or a foreshadow of something much greater, a trophy much greater that we can never experience in just our hobbies or our work or our other pursuits. So the question that I asked myself, obviously, was, well, is it possible that there's a trophy to work for that we can actually receive that lasts forever? Is it possible that is the case? And if so, what does it look like? How do we get it? Does it mean I should never play sport again or go fishing again? Should I be just putting all my energy into a completely different thing? Well, the Apostle Paul has something great to say on this, and it might be a verse that you're familiar with, but as you'll see, that the concept of sport and trophies is something that mankind's been familiar with for a long time. It speaks to us in a way that other situations simply don't. We're going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that Apostle Paul wrote and addresses to the Corinthian Christians, but he also addresses it to Christians everywhere, which is us. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24-25, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So the good news is that at least we have Paul here referencing a crown that lasts forever. So the indication there is that it does exist and it is possible to get, which is good news in answer to our question, which is awesome. But before we get into any more, I just want to have a look at the first part of the verse. Paul talks about runners in a race. Now, he's not talking necessarily about Usain Bolt here, maybe something a little more in his time. In particular, the ancient Olympics. And everyone knew at that time, everyone knew about these games. Everyone knew that they were popular. They knew the athletes. They knew how hard they had to train to be the best in the best. There was a lot of glory associated with the top athletes in the ancient world. A lot of glory. The champions were greatly revered and awarded a crown for their victory. A crown that was made of olive leaves, a wreath. And I'm only familiar with that because I used to read Asterix. I don't know if anyone else read Asterix, but yep. Asterix and the Laurel Wreath was one of his books. But they were awarded. It's sort of funny because you compare it to a gold medal, you know, like that they get in the Olympics nowadays. You think, well, that's probably a bit greater, or maybe a cash prize. Like a crown made of leaves seems a bit rough for such a great event. But it was, you know, crowns were associated with royalty, and this crown was established as something that people really wanted to aspire to. And everyone knew what it took for someone to achieve that. And for us, it's not hard to imagine what it takes to win the Olympics these days. You know, it's a serious commitment of your whole life to be the best. So Paul was saying to us and to the Corinthians at the time, yes, you know about the athletes. You know what they go through. You know they train their whole lives. They get in great condition. They maintain that all in order to win this crown. But ultimately, it's a crown that won't last. Even though, you know, winning the race is an incredible achievement, the leaves that make up the wreath and the crown are going to die. I mean, we all know, you know, the leaves that fall on the ground, once they're not connected to the tree, they're dying. It's the same thing with the crown. It wears away. Time will erode it. And it will come to nothing, and their names will be forgotten. I mean, I don't know how many of you here can name lots of different ancient Olympians, or even Olympians from 100 years ago. You know, the glory of that achievement does fade into the pages of history. But then he says, guys, you know, that's great. Like, they do earn that, they earn that crown. That's good. They work hard for it. There's nothing inherently wrong with pursuing that, but it just doesn't last. They say, we, as Christians, we give our time, we give our efforts, we give our training and our lives for a crown that's far greater, a crown that will last. So really got to ask the question, well, Paul, what is that crown? What is it? What does it look like? What does it mean? And when I first read the passage, you know, a few times, thinking about this concept of a crown that will last, you know, I kept coming to the same conclusion, perhaps the conclusion that that you might have come to as well. Isn't it clear that the crown that we receive as Christians is eternal life? Isn't it clear that no one can take that away, that will never fade? It's true. The amazing free gift from God that we get through faith in Jesus, as he pays our sin debt, sets us free to live eternal life. Yes, that is something that we receive as Christians. But I'm wondering, is that it? You know, is that all he's talking about? Is that it? Is it just a crown that we receive at the end of our life? See, eternal life is an interesting one because I often think maybe the general consensus is, yep, that we're going to get that later on. You know, we'll sort of do our life, and then once we've got through to the end, then we'll receive this crown. Then there'll be this sort of presentation ceremony. We get this crown, eternal life. Here it is. Well done. You know, you made it. But it can sort of be a funny thought because all of a sudden then what is our life? Is it just a time of twiddling our thumbs and sort of, you know, whistling away, waiting for time to expire so that we can receive this prize? You know, in sporting terms, I picture it a little bit like, if you were sitting on the, you know, on the field, you know, say at Subiaco Oval, playing in a sporting game, and you're sitting on the field and you're not really playing, the game's rolling on, you're just sort of looking at the watch, waiting for the whole game to play out so that you can get the prize because you've been given it automatically and you're going to be a champion anyway. There doesn't seem to be a heck of a lot of point to the game and the whole match, does there? So if there's one thing I've learned when reading Scripture, and I'm really thankful that I've been taught this in different ways, is to always look at the context of the verse. In fact, it's pretty cheesy, but you know, you con the text if you don't look at the context, so you sort of can't forget that saying. But anyway, a bit cheesy. But there's an opportunity, without looking at context, to just look at a verse and to see what you want to see, or see what you think you see, and potentially miss what the passage itself could be trying to say. And we can miss out on some of the richness and the depth of these passages. So we have verse 24 to 25, which we read before. And I want to have a look at the few verses beforehand, because I believe it actually gives us great insight. And for me, when I sort of started to unravel this, I was super encouraged. I hope you guys are too. So we're reading verse 19-23 from 1 Corinthians. Though I'm free and belong to no man, this is Paul writing, obviously. Though I'm free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. Bit of a tongue twister. To the weak I became the weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So here Paul really is talking about, for him, it was preaching the gospel, sharing the news of Jesus that he had received and sharing it to others. And that is the context of the verse. And he was doing as much as he could, you know, becoming all different types of people in different scenarios, in relevant ways for people, so that they might maybe grasp, and that some might be won for Jesus, some might be saved. So as we look at this concept of the crown and of athletes, really it's in the context of being an active and sharing our faith in our lives. And so we start to get the picture that actually the joy and satisfaction we get from sharing our faith, from partnering with the Holy Spirit, you know, that is actually part of our crown, that is our reward. In Philippians 4, Paul writes to the Philippian church, and he writes, "My brothers, you are my joy and my crown." So he actually writes a letter to the people and says, "You are actually my crown. You know, my crown is not necessarily just waiting until I finish my life so I can receive eternal life, but actually, you know, your life, your faith, your salvation is my crown as well." And it's actually the same, very same word for crown in that passage as it is when he's talking about the athlete's crown and the crown that will last forever. So the eternal crown Paul is speaking of is not simply our own eternal life, but the salvation and faith of the people we invest our lives in. You know, the athletes toil away to win a trophy, to win a medal. They do everything they can for this physical thing, this physical sign of achievement. And yet our reward as Christians, our crown, maybe it's not a physical crown. But actually it's the faith of those around us. It's the people that we're investing our lives in. As Paul said, "You are my crown. You are really part of my reward that I'm receiving from heaven, just being involved in your life and the joy of seeing your faith grow from maybe nothing to everything." That is something far more glorious, far more worthwhile, far more lasting than any earthly trophy or medal or achievement. What an awesome kingdom mindset. And we would do so well to grasp it and to take a hold of it in our lives. You know, at State Youth Games, we play a lot of sport, obviously, and it is, there is a winning team, which is great. But the best part for me, as Arit shared, was on the Saturday night when we had a guest speaker who shared part of his story and his faith and how God had been working in his life. And he shared the gospel and gave an opportunity for people to respond. And, you know, as Arit said, five people from our team itself went forward. And 40 people overall. You know, and it's so good in that moment. It sort of it makes sense for me, you know, and I see firsthand these people that are making decisions or recommitting or, you know, whatever it meant for them, you know, repenting, receiving eternal life. And I go, you know, like, that's what it's all about. You know, that I can understand what he's talking about when he says, you know, like, that is part of our reward, is just the joy of being involved in that. In one of the previous verses, Paul said, I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. You know, we can actually enjoy the glory, I guess, and the joy of our eternal crown here on earth. One of the guys that went forward had been in our youth ministry for 5 years. And, you know, as he went forward, you know, I couldn't help but be touched. He was, you know, he was moved to tears to respond to the message. And I thought of all the investment that had gone into his life, all of the prayer, all of the time. And here he was making decisions. That's awesome. That is what all about. I look at him and I go, you know, like, it's not to my glory that's happened, but I get to share in what God's doing and enjoy the glory of him being part of the crown, our eternal crown, our reward that lasts forever. You know, so encouraged to see it. You know, you see, our lives are not necessarily about just looking forward to heaven, you know, as this distant event we're going to go to one day. But actually, as happened in that moment, really what our lives are about in a lot of ways is actually seeing heaven and seeing it come into our midst, into our lives here and now. The kingdom of heaven arriving in our midst. You know, Jesus signaled that and he talked about the kingdom of heaven repeatedly about, you know, appearing or coming to our midst. Arriving now, and we get to be involved in that privilege. And in that moment, as I saw people giving their lives to Jesus, I thought, you know, that's what's happening. Heaven's coming to earth. The power of the kingdom of God is here, and it's transforming people's lives, and we get to be a part of that. That is going to last forever. That is so worth investing our lives in. So worth investing our lives in. And I didn't, you know, you'd never regret all that time that you invest in someone when that happens. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what crowns it is that you're working towards in your life. I don't know the things you're chasing after. And I'm not here to stand up and pretend to know all your hearts. But we as a group of Christ followers, you know, we're living for a crown that's greater than the ones that are going to fade away. A heavenly crown that lasts forever. And really the joy of that is seeing people come to know faith, that we can be involved in that. Imagine what would happen if we really got a hold of this eternal perspective. Imagine if we realized that actually the best investment of our lives is building up the faith of those around us. Investing in the kingdom of God above all else, seeing it as far greater value than any other trophy, not losing sight of the author and perfecter of our faith. How many new disciples would we see? What would this place look like if we could really take a hold of that? All it may take is an altered perspective for us. Not getting caught looking at earthly crowns, but actually saying we're called to a crown that is never going to fade. I want to leave you with one final thought out of another one of Paul's letters, this time to the Colossians, in a verse that's encouraged me greatly. Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. For you and me, it can be all a matter of our perspective, where we're setting our hearts and our minds, our passion, our thoughts. I want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment as we wrap up. You know, perspective can be a powerful thing. You know, it can take you out of a moment in an instant. I want you to imagine that you're at the end of your life. Whatever that looks like for you. You know, potentially one moment, one breath away from seeing Jesus face to face. And as you look back at your life, you know, what do you want to see? What do you want your legacy to be? Do you want to see a pile of earthly crowns, temporary achievements, material possessions? Or do you want to see an eternal crown, one that will never fade, the lives of people you invested in who came to know and love Jesus for themselves, who you walked alongside with, who will join you and me in the paradise of eternal life with their Maker. Have a think about who those people are. Maybe they've got faces. Maybe they're people in your life at the moment. How can you begin to live out that legacy now? What steps do you maybe need to start taking in order to see that eternal crown start to become a reality? What work is God doing that maybe you could get in on? Who could you be praying for, investing in, getting alongside? Maybe what ministries here at Life Streams or in the community could you be involved in? Let's keep our eyes on things above, on the things God is doing. Let's keep our eyes on our eternal crown. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the gift of life in Jesus, Lord. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. And we thank you that what awaits us, Lord, is paradise, eternal life with you. Lord, no longer separated. Lord, no longer affected by sin. Lord, we long for that day. We look forward to it. But Lord, we thank you that we get to experience your kingdom here, Lord, on earth. Lord, we thank you that we can play our part in, Lord, seeing your gospel spread. And I thank you that we get great reward, great joy, Lord, out of investing our lives into others and seeing more people come to know you. Lord, seeing people grow in their faith. Father, I pray that we would aim at you, Lord, that you would be where we set our hearts and our minds. Lord, that while we enjoy the things of the earth, we can enjoy these experiences, Lord, that they would be what they are. And we would never lose sight of the fact that we are living for something more, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all these things and for this time we can spend together. In Jesus' name, amen.